Peter Gagg, who drives it through.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Ben's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson, defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight myself, Jane Buster, delighted to welcome along ahead of the first game of the season on Saturday, my little captain, Keith Lasley. Thanks for agreeing to come on again, Keith.
No problem, guys. Anytime.
Well, we've got a fair bit to catch up on, given that we've technical issues hampered us recording last week. I suppose the major talking point is the fact that we've advanced through the League Cup group stages with three fairly comfortable victories, 3-1 at Annan, 3-0 against East Stirling, and the same result at Stranraer Saturday. Jay, the players look very much like they're getting up to speed, and we can take a fair degree of optimism into the season opener at Rugby Park come in 5-6 days' time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's pretty much spot on. The League Cup, I've still not made my mind up about the group stages yet. It's kind of a sort of a weird limbo between friendly matches and competitive matches. You know, it's slightly more competitive than a normal friendly, but you know, it's still obviously being treated as a pre-season match. You go on Steelmen Online and things like that, and you'll get some sort of you know, the negative types sort of talking about how, well, it's only Annan, East Stirling, etc. But you can only beat the teams on front of you, and I think we've done so pretty comfortably the last three games. We look good going forward, creating lots of chances. And yeah, I don't see any reason not to be quite optimistic. We've got a, you know, what would perhaps in past seasons might have been considered quite a difficult trip to Rugby Park. Personally, I'm no doubt we'll talk about it a wee bit later on, but I'm quite looking forward to it. I think that, you know, when you compare the two sides' form in terms of the League Cup, then we're definitely getting them at quite a good time. So, yeah, I think in terms of the new guys appearing to settle in terms of what you would perhaps consider our best 11, how that's shaping up, and in terms of the results so far, I don't see any reason to be particularly negative going into the start of the season.
Keith, you obviously missed out the opening game of the group stages against Rangers, then featured in the final three matches. It seems like the team has gathered momentum with every game, and come Saturday it was a pretty accomplished performance and a very professional job well done.
Yeah, no, I think so. Even going back to the Rangers game, I think you know, we maybe take one or two chances there. You know, possibly the outcome of that could have been different. So, you know, even from that game, moving on to the, you know, the game down at Annan, and then, you know, on to Stirling and Stranraer, as you said on Saturday, it's, you know, these games is as Jay says, you can only beat who's in front of you. But you know, even who was in front of us, sometimes these games aren't that easy to contend with. I mean, these you know, teams now in you know, League One and League Two, you know, the majority of them are all well coached now. They're all you know, guys keep themselves fit, and especially at this time of year, you know, they're you know, they're raring to go, and any opportunity to get to play a team at a higher level, you know, they do tend to raise their game as well and be up for it. So, you know, we know, and I think that reflected probably in the first half. Halves of all the games where it was relatively tight, and then it probably was into the second half where you are hoping that that little bit more preparation time that we probably had gone into it, more so than these teams, that it probably did start to pay, and that obviously a little bit more quality in forward areas, which I think we did show. And again, as Jamie mentioned, I think we were creating chances, or we have created chances in all the games, and I included the Rangers game in that, and hopefully that can only be a good sign for the start of the season coming up.
Do you believe it's been a good thing, the revamped League Cup, in terms of it's eradicated, a need for the friendlies in the weeks coming up to the season, where instead you've got, as you've already alluded to, some decent sides challenging and causing us difficulties at times? It possibly means we'll be a bit sharper come Saturday.
Yeah, I think so. I've enjoyed it, to be honest. As a player being involved in it, I think even the format of it being a group stage, I think it is something different. I think it probably is a competition that did need a little bit of life breathing into it. I like the fact I've brought it forward as well, into this period, and then I think the final is even in November, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So, that way it doesn't feel as if it's competing even with the Scottish Cup. It does feel as if it's its own competition in its own right, and something worth playing for at this early part of the season. So, I quite like a lot of the changes. Is it perfect? Probably not. But I think I can see a lot of the reasons, or a lot of thinking behind some of the changes that they have made. And as a player playing in it and having that little bit more of a competitive element, I think going into the first game of the season, I think has been a good thing. It definitely... you go into these games, there's no doubt, with a different mindset. If they were just friendly matches, yeah, you're still approaching it, and you want to win the game, and you want to play well, and you want to get your fitness up, you want to do all these things. But there's no doubt, adding that competitive element, regardless of the opposition, I think it does prepare you, a few more percent higher, if you like, even more in terms of looking forward to the league game. So, it's been a positive for me. I can see them maybe tweaking it a little bit as the years go on or whatever, but I think, there's a lot of good things there, and, hopefully it's something that they can build on and in the coming years.
Buster, I suppose we can't hide from the fact that our records in both cups in recent years has been very poor, so to get through to the next stage was very important, and you've seen teams like Kilmarnock, Ross County all going out at this stage, so we had the job to do, and kind of there's a wee bit of relief there as well that we have advanced to the next round.
Certainly, aye. I mean, after the initial Rangers game, I thought we'd maybe struggle with it because there was the only half of the teams basically finished second went through. I wasn't sure how that was going to work out, if it was going to be down to goal difference, or maybe if this extra bonus point that they'd brought in would have a big effect on that. But as you said, we've got through pretty comfortably in the end. Obviously the draw for the next round's against Celtic, so it's not exactly the easiest of draws. But in the last few years, in this competition last year actually, we had what we thought would be favourable draws in East Fife and Morton. And we struggled in both of them. Eventually went out to Morton, but if we're going to do well in a competition, you have to beat the big teams at one point, so might as well be in the next round.
Yeah, that's it. And gee, I didn't actually expect that the game was so soon. Next Wednesday we'll play Celtic. The game's going to be televised in BT Sport. You'd imagine, despite the fact it won't be a full house at Celtic Park, it'll be a decent turnout, and you would hope for a decent payday for the club as well. It's a tough ask, but given they've got European football, they'll have played Hearts on Sunday at Tynecastle, which is never an easy game, of course. We can maybe be quietly hopeful, I suppose, going into the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's the start of the season, so obviously every team in the country is still bedding in new players and getting into the swing of things. So as Buster says, if you're going to have to beat a team like Celtic to go particularly far in the tournament, it might as well be next week. You're talking about a Celtic side who, aren't exactly setting the heather alight in the Champions League. They're a Celtic side who, new manager, one or two new players, perhaps maybe one or two new players more by the time we get to the the game next week. You know, we might will hopefully be on the back of a win at Rugby Park. And yeah, if you're going to go and take them on in the League Cup, again, I'm not even sure how Brendan Rodgers will approach the League Cup. You know, you're, as you said, they're in, well, presumably they'll still be in Europe. They're obviously gearing up to a big league campaign with, you know, their rivals back in the division. The League Cup for a team like Celtic probably isn't, you know, a priority, so they might, you know, approach it slightly differently. They may still see it as the kind of pre-season friendly match. So, you know, I've no doubt whatsoever that it's going to be a big ask. It's going to be a hard game. Of course it is. You know, we were there the last time we were at Celtic Park. Don't need to get into too much detail on that game. But so it's
no,
not
definitely
the,
not.
So it's not the best memory. But, you know, we've beaten them before, both at home and away. And if you're going to get them, you might as well get them, you know, cold when they're kind of lumbering along in a European competition rather than, you know, as Keith said, you know, the way they've got the format now, the game's been a lot sooner and getting the tournament, you know, a bit of momentum to the actual tournament itself means that you're going to be playing Celtic probably at a more favourable time than it would perhaps to draw them in November or perhaps even next year when they're in the swing of a title challenge. So, no, I'd be confident. You know, why not? Again, we're still relatively early on in the season. I'm optimistic about the season. I think there's a lot of things to be optimistic about, and I don't see any reason why we can't go there and get a result.
Keith, I read quotes from yourself prior to the Stranraer game about having to attend celebration dinners and things like that and commemorating the 1991 Cup win and how it's kind of time that this team creates some memories and a cause for us to celebrate. I have pointed out, and I know you'll be well aware that the records in the Cup haven't been great in recent times, but this presents another opportunity, doesn't it, and to get through the first stage. I know Celtic's a huge ask, particularly at Celtic Park, but as we showed last season, we went there with a really good mentality to play. We attacked them, went at them, and even after going behind, managed to go on and win the game 2-1. So there is cause for optimism despite the enormity of the task ahead.
No, definitely, I think there is. You know, we had contrasting fortunes, let's say, in Parkhead last year in terms of our two visits there. But, you know, certainly, as you say, we went there earlier in the season. You know, for him, it was there. I've seen that match. We, you know, we deservedly went there and won the game 2-1. Probably more chances to extend the lead there, so it can be done. You know, I think we've got a lot of players that did play that day as well, so, you know, have you know, got experience of going there and coming away with a good result as well. You know, and for the other mentions you know, the other reasons, sorry, that Jay mentioned there, it is early in the season. You know, I hope they are still in Europe at that point, and as you say, a tough match they've got beforehand against Hearts, so all of these things. But, you know, the bottom line is we're going to have to go there and play well. But, you know, I think the signs will be good in pre-season. And, you know, we are certainly getting into the Kilmarnock game in a really good frame of mind. And, you know, let's hope that continues on to the Wednesday night, because, you know, hopefully if we're still in that good place and good, you know, terms and a good frame of mind, as I mentioned, getting into the game on a Wednesday, I see no reason why we can't go there and give a good account of ourselves. And, you know, when we do that, I think we're showing we're a match for anyone, really, to be honest. So, no, it's a game, you know, I miss out on Saturday myself, unfortunately, so it's a game now that I'm certainly be, you know, champing at the bit to be involved in, and I'm sure all the guys in the dressing room are exactly the same.
Pointing out the fact that you're suspended for the game on Saturday, I've already had a conversation with you about this before. What the hell's going on with the suspensions? Why did you serve a suspension for the Rangers game, then were able to play three games and then have to miss out another one?
That is an excellent question. It's a bit confusing to me, to be honest. Initially, I thought it was, we all thought at the club, it was just going to be the first two games, which would have been the, you know, the Rangers game and the Anning game. But for whatever reason, it transpires that one part of the suspension was immediate and one was to be competition specific. So, you know, hence the reason why it was, you know, miss the first league game, unfortunately. So, Yeah, it seems a bit crazy, but you know, it's just a bit of a blow, really. I would have much preferred to have gotten the suspensions out of the way, and then you know you'd have been free to then you know, be involved afterwards. But you know, it's a bit frustrating getting that the three games. You just feel as if you're getting going, and then unfortunately I have to miss out on Saturday. But you know, I'm sure the guys, whoever steps in, I'll do a good job. We've got good competition in there now, and as I said, from a personal point of view myself, I'm just. You know, that's one thing that the draw at Parkhead. I certainly can't wait to get out there on Wednesday night. And you know, as I said, I'm sure all the boys are a chance to go there this early in the season is you know, something to relish. You know, it's a great place to go and play, and it's an even better place to go and win.
That's it, Buster. I suppose the opportunity of playing midweek games around the summertime as well is a nice change too, given that you can quite often play these midweeks and November, December time, and the freezing cold and the rain. It should be kind of, maybe not shorts and t-shirt weather, but it'll be fairly decent as well, which normally brings out a few more punters, and hopefully we do take along a decent-sized travelling support, despite the game being on the television.
Well, you know, when you're playing football in July, you'd like to think so, but I'm sure if you ask Keith about, you know, the game against East Stirling, I don't think the sun was out that day, to be fair.
That's true.
It was pretty wet, to be fair, aye. As you say, you know, it's going to be a bit warmer, at least, although it was raining last week. You know, the temperature's been quite high, but it's one of those things where, you know, is there going to be a crowd that's, you know, parked during the week for the League Cup? You know, there's thousands of them, so, you know, they'll probably get at least 25,000. They'll announce it at 40,000, but you know what it was like. You know, if you've got plans to go along, I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself, and I've no doubt that, you know, I think we'll win, to be honest with you. I don't know why, I just think we'll win. I can't even tell you why, to be fair. I don't know where that's coming from, but I think we're actually going to win. And I think it's, you know, everybody's talking about you know, Marvin Johnson and how he's, you know, out to impress and he's looking for a move. It's going to be games like Celtic coming up and Rangers a couple of weeks later, where, you know, Marvin Johnson has to step up and show that he can play against the bigger teams, as well as, you know, playing really well against your likes of Annans and Stranraers and stuff. So I'm pretty confident that we'll do really well, to be honest with you.
There's definitely scope in me and you discussing the weather in the podcast every week as well. I think we'll definitely take that one forward. Jay mentions Marvin Johnson. He's a great start to the season. Four excellent performances in the League Cup. His stock is possibly one of its highest points it's ever been during his time here. So it will be hard to keep a hold of him. But if we do, then he's going to be a huge, huge member of our squad going forward.
He's probably got it spot on. I think that, you know, we all know how good a player Marvin Johnson can be, and we're all probably rightly a little bit concerned that, you know, he might be off-ski this month. But I think if you're out with the Motherwell bubble, you're probably going to be waiting to see him, you know, turn it on, you know, in the league against, you know, the bigger teams in the division. It's all very well having great games at Annan and things like that, but you need to do it consistently week in, week out. So for me, you know, if he has to go, which I don't know whether it's just pessimism. I don't know how much sort of fact there is to all of this, whether it's just Motherwell fans being pessimistic. There does seem to be a growing feeling that he won't be there at the end of the month. If that is to be the case, then I would like to think that we will finally get out of this habit of being quite, I don't know, naive or quite, I don't know what the word would be, just quite pathetic when it comes to, you know, standing firm or trying to get decent prices for our players. We've seen players in the past go for a little less than they really should have when you compare some of the business that Dundee United, for example, has done. So if Marvin Johnson has to leave this month, then hopefully we'll get a good price for him. But I would like to be optimistic and hope that he does stay at least to the January transfer window. I've said before, I think one of the things that it's worth being quite excited about this season and being optimistic is I think that when you actually look at the other teams in the division, I think Motherwell's front three of Johnson, Moult and McDonald, when all three are fit and all three are in form, I think is as good as anything in the division. I think that, you know, if you compare that to what Aberdeen have got, or Hearts, or Celtic, I'd be perfectly happy taking Johnson, McDonald and Moult every day of the week. So if we can keep Johnson and we can get, you know, Moult and McDonald back fit, then that's a fantastic front three that, you know, will score goals. So yeah, it's a big talking point this month. As I said, I don't know how much, you know, fact there is. It's hard to obviously separate the fact from the rumours. So I would like to think that come September he'll still be a Motherwell player. But in the worst case scenario he does go, then I would like to think at least we'll get, you know, a decent value for him.
Keith, I suppose it's not just Motherwell that struggle to bring in the transfer fees. You look at Dundee losing Kane Hemmings last week for what seemed like such a partly sum for a player of his abilities. The Scottish clubs have consistently struggled to sell players for any decent value, and it's a real shame because you look at Marvin Johnson's talent and abilities and he's certainly not a player that's worth a nominal fee.
No, definitely not. I mean, you know, obviously see Marvin kind of day in, day out, and I, you know, even since he's been at the club, I've seen a real progression in him, and you know, you can see he's just adding little bits to his game all the time, and that's the thing with him. If somebody was to take him, and it's probably a reason why I'm surprised that somebody hasn't taken a chance on him, a championship team or whatever from down south, is that I think if you did take him, there is even more scope for him to get even better, you know, so it's from that point of view, I'm surprised, but, you know, happily surprised, if you like, because, you know, certainly as a teammate, I would love him to stay for as long as possible, you know, with the knowledge that, you know, at some point he is going to move on. But, you know, in terms of the transfer fees, it's, you know, it's, it seems to be a running theme, as you say, in Scottish football, guys that, you know, they seem to be able to come up here and pick them up for, you know, really, you know, lower fees than I feel a lot of the guys are worth anyway, and Marvin certainly falls into that category. And, you know, one thing I think the club will be is quite strong with it. I think he's signed on for another couple of years, and, you know, I think they're in a good position in terms of bargaining, you know, and holding out, hopefully, for that a fee that they feel, you know, if the worst is to happen, he is going to go. You know, at least the club is getting, you know, a decent and fair transfer fee that we can then hopefully reinvest to some degree to try and move on and maybe bring somebody else in or you know, and move on in that way. So, but, you know, as I said, you know, I think he started the season very well. You know, and he is the type of player, as you said, I totally agree with Jay, on his day, him alongside the likes of Wee Scotty and Moulty. To me, is as good as anything, and I think it was no surprise when they three clicked, if you like, last year. You know, it coincided with us going on probably our best run of the season, and you know, I think if we can get them back in the team and backfiring, to me, it's going to bring good things for us results wise in the league this year.
Just an occasion that the club certainly did hold firm was the transfer dealings of Scott McDonald in the last couple of weeks, where kind of very unexpectedly after signing a new contract was linked with Sydney, and there was a real concern amongst the support for sure that he may leave the club, but the club have clearly sat down, Alan Burrows and Mark McGee have sat down with Scott McDonald and reassured him that his future was best served at Fir Park, and we know the importance of McDonald and the influence he's had on Louis Moult during his time at the club as well. It was a relief again there to keep a hold of him.
It certainly was. As you say, he from the outside, he clearly looks like a very big player. You know, even going back to Lee Irwin and stuff, I think I remember reading something Lee Irwin said along the lines of, you know, he's a greeting face we get, but he's keeping me right, he's showing me the way. You know, so as you say, it was a strange, it wasn't even 24 hours, I don't think, you know, it was a strange sort of 12, 16 hours. But, you know, even as you say, even then, by the time we woke up in the, I say it was a Thursday or something, I'd kind of made now, but by the time we woke up in the morning, you know, it had all been sort of settled, it was all done and dusted, and it was, you know, from what, even when I was speaking to Flo as well, and even when I was speaking to Flo, he was saying, that's it, it's done and dusted, he's going to be staying here. So it was kind of strange, but, you know, obviously everybody's delighted to see him remain here, obviously.
And I'm sure, despite his moaning, Keith, that's a feeling shared by the players as well.
No, definitely. You know, he's well publicised drops are you know, they do happen day in, day out. But no, look, he's somebody that's that you know demands you know a lot from the people around about him and himself, to be fair. And you know, he's you know, first and foremost, Scott's he's a very good football player, you know, and yeah. You know, again, see that in training every single day. And I think he's been, since he's been back at the club, I think he's been very consistent. And I think he just does bring a little bit of quality and a little bit of nous probably up the top end of the pitch for us. And you know, he's a perfect guy to bring guys like Johnson and Ainsworth, Thomas, Moll, you know, these guys into the game, and you know, in terms of his link up play and things like that. So he's probably as good as anybody at that, to be honest, in the league, I feel. And you know, when you've got willing runners round about him, even like Sakad from midfield and things like that, it's you know, it's invaluable. So you know, that along with his experience, obviously off the park, you know, I think it was just great news for the club that he is staying about. And again, we go back to, you know, what Jay mentioned earlier. You know, he's, to me, he's, you know, him, he's able to form a great partnership with Moult, if it's the two of them up there, and then if it's the three with Johnson coming in, or you know, you have got the likes of Wee Dom or Lionel coming in there as well. You know, you're starting to look as if you've got a lot of options up there and a lot of goal threat really as well, which, you know, at the end of the day, that's what wins your football games, is, you know, scoring more goals than the opposition. So as I said, you know, hopefully if we can keep all of these guys fit going forward and at the club, which is first and foremost, then, you know, I said it can only be a good thing for us.
We'll go on and talk about the Kilmarnock game in just a second, but just one more player that has really stood out over the last couple of weeks, and you'll be best informed to tell us more about him, is Chris Cadden, who I just think he's playing with a bit of swagger. He seems to have physically bulked up as well. It looks like he might add goals to his resume as well this season, where maybe filling that void that Stephen Pearson leaves. It looks like he's got a great future at his feet just now.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that he has. I think Cad seemed to be that player that was in the 20 squad and kind of bumping along in the 20 squad like early last year, and, you know, out on loan a couple of times, and you kind of wondered, was he going to make that step? But since he has made that step, he's been given the opportunity. He's, you know, he's a great example of a guy that's a young player that's grabbed it with both hands. You know, he works tirelessly on his game. You know, I think you can see he works tirelessly on his physique. And I think a great indication of that was actually the Youth Cup final last year, where I think you've seen him when he was dropping back down to that age group. You know, he did look kind of head and shoulders above the boys, and even physically, I remember from the game. And you know, so I think that's testament to real hard work. And as you say, I think the next level for Cads now is adding that, you know, maybe 8 to 10 goals a season, something like that. I know that's a big ask, maybe, but it is something. If he can do that or work towards that, then, you know, it takes him to another level again. And I think, you know, the way he'll achieve that, I think, is belief in his own ability. I think that's something that he maybe just coming into the team last year, and maybe felt as if he was still a young player, maybe just getting his chance, and you know, just happy to have a chance. Whereas now, you know, he's seen as a first team player, and, you know, a big part of that first team, and hopefully that will give him the belief in that, playing, as you said, with a little bit more swagger, which, you know, myself, actually, it's funny, it's something that I've mentioned with him, to have more belief in his own ability, because I think when he does and he plays with that, it does just take his performance level up again. You know, so if he can continue to play with that, build on that, and as I said, you know, add the goals to that game, then, you know, to me, he's again going to hopefully be a big asset for us, you know, going forward, not just this year, but, you know, beyond.
Looking ahead to Saturday, Jay, it's great that we're going to have, that's the football season back up and running, and Saturday's going to be filled with better things than being trailed around the shops or whatnot. I tell you, I've had a very disappointed League Cup campaign. They'll certainly be wounded. Lee Clark's made huge changes to the squad over the summer months, and yet he still looks like a man under real pressure. There was rumours that he might be on his way out even as early as last week. That'll mean Rovers game certainly didn't go to plan for them at the weekend. it'll be interesting to see how Kelly react. If the fans have booed them off the park for the last two home games, if we could go there and get an early goal, you could hopefully see the crowd turning on them again.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think if you look at the, you know, the respective League Cup group stages for Motherwell and Kilmarnock, we are, you know, in far better form. And if we're going to, you know, say that it is competitive, if we're, you know, accepting that the League Cup is competitive regardless of it being pre-season, then you have to look at the results and say that they haven't been looking particularly impressive. You know, looking at the results just now, a narrow 2-1 victory against Clyde, beaten 2-0 by Morton, a narrow 3-2 victory over Berwick, and then, as you said, you know, drawn with Albion and then losing in penalties. So they're not having the best of times. It's obviously, without knowing too much about what's going on at Rugby Park, it's hard to make too big a judgment. It could be that, you know, they're just not particularly good, in which case, great. It could be that, you know, the massive changes that Lee Clark's made there are just taking a bit of time to bed in, they're just taking a wee bit of time to gel, in which case, 1 week, it's going to gel, and you just need to hope that it's not Saturday. But, you know, if you're looking for pointers or you know, who's in form and things like that, then you have to go to Rugby Park on Saturday and you know, fancy us for a victory. You know, we've been talking there about, you know, our forward players creating chances, scoring goals. I think even defensively, I think, you know, we were talking during the week there, if you compare the back four or five this season to the back four or five last season, and you had to choose between the two, I think I would probably edge to at least the back four. I think Conor Ripley was a great goalkeeper, but in terms of the actual back four itself, I think that, you know, Tate looks as though he could be a good player. There was obviously, you know, a bit of negativity or a bit of a backlash with Ben Hall leaving, more to do with, you know, a lot of what we heard about that, rather than the player himself. But, you know, Hennigan's came in and looks as though he could be a real prospect. So, you know, even at the back, I think that we're actually starting to look a decent side. If you're looking at the pre-season that we've had, both the friendlies and the League Cup games, I think it's all, you know, by and large went to plan. Yes, it would have been great to beat Rangers. Yes, we had a few, you know, Easter Road in the pre-season games. But, you know, all building towards the season, I think there's a lot to be positive about, a lot to be optimistic about. And when you compare ourselves to the, you know, the Kilmarnock side that's kind of been struggling through these games, you know, through Scotland games, we've got a few Kilmarnock supporting mates who, you know, you read some of their Facebook or tweets and things like that regarding their team's performance, and it does not sound good at all down there. Obviously, we still need to be at the top of the gate. Our game, it's still a difficult place to go, but I'd be full of confidence for Saturday. I think that if we can go down there and, as you said, get an early goal, there's no reason why we can't go on. And, you know, as I said earlier, our front three, obviously it won't be that front three on Saturday with Moult missing out and possibly McDonald as well, but we've got the players. You know, you talk about Cadden, who is, I think, fantastic going forward. I think that is a game that we should be looking to win and possibly win comfortably.
Buster, you look at our opening four games before Scotland play Malta and there'll be the international break, obviously. Four difficult fixtures, and as we've discussed so many times on the podcast, the Premiership's very much a league that every team on their day is capable of beating the other. So it's four difficult games, but you look at them and you can't see any reason why we, if we get a good result on Saturday, we can't push on it and really make a mark this season. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you heard me earlier. It's, you know, it's early in the season, and I'm at that point when I believe we can win the league. I think we're going to win every game. I think that's what's going to. We're just going to win every game. You know, it'll probably take me 3 or 4 games, and I'll probably get an unfortunate bump back down the earth. But you know, as I say, it's, I'm at that point where I, as you say, the season's just starting. Everybody's buzzing about it, and I, you know, as you say, as Jay said there as well, the friendlies, we took a bit of a pump in at Easter Road. The Rangers game, we started really well, didn't take any of our chances. Then I felt we set off them a bit too much, gave them far too much respect to beat us. But, you know, and since then, you know, we've looked fairly comfortable. We've looked really good going forward at times. And, you know, we'd two fairly comfortable clean sheets as well in the other League Cup game. So it's going to be, as you say, the upcoming fixtures, it'll be it'll be good to see exactly how we're going to settle down and how we're going to be basically. But Kilmarnock on Saturday again, I'm really confident. I don't know, like Jay says, I don't know exactly what's happening there, but they seem to have been in a bit of trouble for the last, I don't know, maybe, you know, eight months or something. There's this, I don't know what to say, they seem as if they're going down the pan, but, you know, that was all the talk when they just avoided the relegation. You know, that could have caused big troubles, you know, in the club and things like that. They've got about maybe 15 new players this season. It's going to be an interesting one, even just to see, you know, what Kilmarnock are actually like. And as you said, you know, we all know people who support Kilmarnock, so it's, and you know, they're not the most upbeat people there now. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I think we're going to start really well on Saturday.
Keith, a pressing issue for you will be, if you're going to be in the stand, you need to be behind that goal and not beside that numpty that films the YouTube videos as well.
Got that hand.
All right, you've got 4 or 5 days to sort that one out.
I'm not looking forward to the watching brief, to be honest with you. Obviously, I'd much rather go out there, but I've got to say, I share the guy's optimism, to be honest. I think at the start of any season, you have that optimism, but, you know, honestly, before Saturday, you know, this build-up that we've had, I think as these last 2 or 3 weeks have gone on, I think as you mentioned, the new guys that have come in, I think are starting to look really settled now, and you know, I've made a great contribution in these League Cup games, and you know, there's guys playing well already in terms of you know, going forward, as we've mentioned before. So, you know, I think there is plenty of reasons to be optimistic. You know, you mentioned Kilmarnock there, and seems there is a few, you know, issues there, a possibility of some issues there, and you know, whatever's going on, obviously we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. But I think the fact that they did bring in so many players, I know how that can be tricky, and you know, I've had experience of that before when there's been a big turnaround of players and a lot of comings and a lot of goings, and you know, sometimes it does take a little bit of time to gel together, and for Lee Clark to find his perfect formula. So yeah, hopefully that's you know, that's still the case on Saturday for them, and they are still searching a little bit for that, and we can go there and you know, take advantage. But you know, to take advantage, we know we're going to have to go and play well. But you know, as I said, we're in a good frame of mind certainly getting into the game, and you know, come Saturday, I think the boys will be right up for it. And as I said, although I'm disappointed, I'm only going down to watch. I'm actually really looking forward to the game and hopefully getting 3 points on the board.
Another new arrival last week, or should I say, kind of an old arrival arriving again, in the shape of James McFadden taking the assistant manager's job. Jay, not many people know this, but you actually gave him his chance in management when he was your number two throughout your Football Manager career. So I suppose
not quite.
How did he get on with that? Did he? He's never getting sacked.
No, we were all right, but then I left Real Madrid to take over at Mullow, and he didn't fancy it, so he's betrayed me.
Unbelievable, big time.
It seems like a very natural fit, someone that knows the club as well as Faddy does. Obviously, it was always going to be very popular with the supporters as well. And it's always been said, you've done a bit of coaching work yourself, Keith, so you know what it's like in terms of getting an opportunity at the club. It seems like the kind of perfect fit.
Yeah, no, it's you know, I think it did probably take even James himself a wee bit surprised. I think he's on record as saying that. It's probably an opportunity that's come his way that he maybe didn't think, certainly not at this stage of his career, it would come. But, you know, I think it's an opportunity that he's going to grasp with both hands, having spoken to him, obviously. You know, a very good friend, and yeah, you know, well, he was in at the club anyway. He was in at the club doing some rehab, and you know, possibly with a view, maybe designing on. But he's, you know, now he's been given this opportunity. As I said, I haven't spoken to him. I just know how much he's looking forward to giving it all he's got, basically. And you know, yeah, has he got stuff to learn from the technical aspects of it in terms of the actual coaching and things like that? Yeah, you know, of course he has. He'd be the first to put his hand up and admit it. But, you know, I think all the other things that he can bring to the job, obviously, as you say, he knows the club inside out. I think he's got a good relationship with the fans. But first and foremost, he's a really good knowledge of football. He's played under some really top managers. He's played at a very good level, both internationally, obviously, and at club level. And I think the manager sees him as somebody he can work with and he can build a good relationship with. And that's really important as well. And, you know, Faddy has been in and about the club, as you say, for a long time now. He knows the players inside out. He knows what makes them tick. And he is a guy that even when he was a player, he was always passing on, you know, information to the younger guys. And he's certainly got that within him, that skill, if you like, of passing on information. And you know, a big part of his role now will be that, you know, but it's just so happened it will be his job now rather than something that he just did anyway. So you know, as I said, he's been an up and down couple of years for him, and I think he sees this as something that he really wants to grasp and work at. And I think that can only be a positive, you know, going forward for both him personally and hopefully the club.
The departure of Stephen Robinson didn't come as a massive surprise to many, given that his stock, particularly after the success of Northern Ireland at the Euros, seemed to be a very highly respected coach. Did that unsettle, though, in any way, pre-season preparation coming back and not having the assistant there?
You know, possibly. I mean, in an ideal world, obviously, you want, you know, all your staff in place and it to be quite settled. And even that news, I think, was quite... that happened quickly, put it that way. You know, I think it happened very quickly. It came, you know, it was a little bit of a shock as well that, you know, Steve had decided to leave. I don't think it was something that had been on in the background for a long time. So, yeah, it meant there was a little bit of a period there where there was a little bit of limbo in terms of a position to be filled. But, you know, I think the manager has got enough experience and had enough experience to manage that period well. Along with, you know, the other coaches at the club, like Sir Craggs and Andy Bowles, a fitness coach. So there was other guys there that could step in. And just losing Steve, I think, is a blow, because he was, you know, certainly a fantastic coach. But I think he's probably at the opposite end from you know, like Sir Faddy, where, you know, Steve had been coaching at a very good level for over 10 years or a dozen years, and he obviously felt it was time for him to try management. So, you know, I think everybody at the club could understand why Steve chose to move on. But, you know, as I said, the manager managed that period well, and now Faddy's got that opportunity to fill that role. And, you know, as I said, as you've seen over the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, I don't think it's hampered us too much in our preparations for the season ahead.
Buster, it must be said, a few eyebrows were raised when you saw Stephen Robinson's appointment of an assistant manager. It's a role reversal like I don't think I've ever seen or can remember in football.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's possible, you know, Ian Barraclough could become a great assistant manager. I mean, I'm not asking Keith to put his foot in there in here, but he seemed like a nice guy. Maybe that was his downfall. I don't know. Robinson's obviously enjoyed his time working with him, and he's obviously maybe seen something in him. So, you know, I like the fact that he sort of went back to it. I did see something where Robinson said, you know, it wasn't the old pal Zach, because he'd only met him when he was at Motherwell, but I like the fact that he sort of just, you know, come round and said to him, fancy a job, mate?
Fair enough.
No, if I could just add on to that, I mean, I could understand that, you know, obviously working with the two of them, because I think Ian, as you say, was a very nice guy, and, you know, maybe was part of the reason in the end it never quite worked out for him, I don't know. But, well, you know, one thing I can say for Ian is it was a very hard working in terms of, you know, planning his sessions and things like that. He was a very hands-on manager. He did take a lot of the training and a lot of, you know, the planning of the training sessions and things like that. So I think maybe that side of it is, you know, thinking of the appointment itself now as assistant, I can see why you know, Steve would take him there, because, as I said, he was, you know, very good in terms of that side of it. And, you know, maybe that'll work better. You know, obviously time will tell with that, but I can certainly see some of the reasons why, you know, why he has made that, you know, why he has taken him with him to Oldham.
There you go, that's what I was trying to say.
As part of the newly reformed Petrofac Cup, or the Iron Brew Cup as it will be known as from this season forward, the under 20 squad take on East Stirling, they take on Edinburgh City tomorrow night. Keith, I'll go to you first. As a coach of the 20s, will you be involved in the setup again this season? And
yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's funnily enough, we were in this morning prepping. And in fact, I had a little bit of an assignment for my pro licence that I'm doing at the moment, which I finish up in December. So, you know, part of that was the guys were in observing us, you know, preparing the boys for tomorrow night. So hopefully the result tomorrow will reflect the master plan that we come up with for the boys today. But yeah, no, very much so. It's been a great, I must say, it's been, especially after last year, obviously, with the cup win. But no, I mean, not just that, just the full season. Craig's given me the opportunity to help him out. And, you know, yeah, even things like tomorrow night's game is a great opportunity for the lads, especially, you know, the game being at Firth Park as well, chance to play there. You know, and against a side, you know, we've had them watch two or three times. You know, they've obviously been taking part in this, you know, the Betfred Cup as well. So, we know the challenge it's going to face. It's going to be a big challenge physically, I think, for the lads. You know, but we feel as if, you know, if we play our game, and we can certainly cause them problems. So it is a game that we're really looking forward to, and, you know, we're in today preparing for diligently, and you know, we've certainly prepared very well for it. So hopefully that can show tomorrow night.
Can I ask you as well then, Keith, in regards to this, the competition? As you said, obviously it's been revamped and stuff. What do the clubs actually think of this setup? Because I mean, again, I'm all for change and I like what they're trying to do, but the way it's all set up seems a bit insane to me again.
But the Iron Brew Cup, this Petrofac, in terms of the under 20s being involved in it, you mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I'm looking at it just now, for example, and there's under 20s and 8 teams from this, 4 Lowland teams, 4 Highland teams, and that's only the first round. Then in the next round, 2 other teams for League 1 come in, 2 other teams for League 2 come in, 8 other teams for League 1 come in. Then in the next round, somebody else for League 2, League 1 comes in, Dundee United and the Championship teams come in, and then in the next round, the Welsh teams come in, and the Irish teams come in. it's insane.
When does it finish? Is it 2018 or something?
Well, the quarterfinals are in November, and then the semis are in February, and the finals in March. So it's sort of kind of compact up until the quarters, and then, you know, you've got 3 months in between that and then a month after that. But as I say, don't get me wrong, as I say, I like what they're trying to do, but I was talking to my mates who support other teams, and, you know, they're no interest if they're looking forward to their Champions League and all that rubbish. So I was telling them about this competition, and their eyes were bulging at their head when I was trying to explain, you know, there was a Welsh team coming in at this point and an Irish team coming in at the same time. And as I say, don't get me wrong, I think it'll be kind of fun to watch, but under 20s at least, how are they feeling about getting a shot against, you know, some of the, as you say, the senior teams, you know, maybe like Dundee United and stuff like that later down the line, and obviously the Welsh teams and stuff coming in?
Yeah, look, this is, first and foremost, this is educational, this podcast. I have absolutely no idea what the set up was, to be honest with you.
I'll send you a link on Twitter.
So, mate, I'll take your word for all that, right? But, so, you know, all I can speak about is from our point of view in terms of the, you know, the boys themselves. And I know, you know, they're really looking forward to it. I think they see it as a something different, something exciting, a new challenge. You know, I think they see the fact that this team, Edinburgh, who they're going to be playing, have been playing the likes of St Mirren and Hamilton and things like that, you know, they see it as a challenge for them. Can they step up and play against them? And, even for myself and Craig to try and prepare them for it as well. It's a slightly different challenge for us. So, no, it's something that we're really looking forward to. And I think the game being at Fir Park as well, hopefully we can get a few fans along again to support the boys, which I know for the final itself, it was, you know, for the boys to play in front of our Motherwell support like that was absolutely fantastic. Something that I think a lot of them will remember for a long, long time. So, you know, I know it's not going to quite be like that tomorrow, but I think the fact that, as I said, the game being at Fir Park, getting to play on what is a magnificent surface at the moment, you know, and hopefully a few punters there as well, is, you know, it's hopefully going to be a good occasion and a good test for them. So, you know, from our point of view, it's certainly good at the moment. You know, hopefully we can progress.
Well, that's out of five and £2 for kids tomorrow night to get in. So hopefully as many people as can make it along do manage to get along. I'm going to make a point of making it for sure. And hopefully a few follow suit. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for this week. Keith, all the best for the season ahead. As we say, we're really looking forward to it, and as always, we appreciate you giving up your time to do this.
No, listen, any time, guys. I know I always say it, but you know, I look forward to hopefully speaking to yous, you know, at some point in the future, and you know, hopefully, let's hope by that time we're setting up this league, and you know, we've had a good start to the season.
Jay, Buster, thanks as always, guys.
Cheers. No, well, thanks very much.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thanks and goodbye.